Welcome to Missions Month. Today kicks off a series of messages dealing with missions, and also we'll be taking up offerings above and beyond our normal tithes and offerings this month to support missions around the world. And we've kind of divided it down in a way so that we take Acts 1:8. And a couple of years ago, or actually, I guess about 4.5 years ago or now, I was down in Alpharetta, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, and being interviewed for the position of church planner strategist for the North American Mission Board, and my assignment was going to be here in Northern Michigan. And as I was getting ready, and we had a whole bunch of interviews that day, like six or so interviews with different agencies and different divisions within the North American Mission Board. Just a real lovely day. How many's ever had days like that? I mean, you had interview after interview after interview, and just, you know, after a while you say, I've already answered that five times. I'm just tired. Just put it on record. But I got ready to go see one of the guys for our meeting and in one of his offices, Mr. Tomlinson, as he met with me, he said, I can't meet with you right now. I have to go. I've got a really important meeting, and I'll share with you when I get back about what took place. And so he took off and he went to his meeting, and a little while later he came back and we kind of ransacked his office. No, we really didn't. But anyway, we had been sitting there waiting for him to get back, and we had some things that they had given us that we needed to do. And he said, man, one of the most exciting things has happened. And he said, I've been praying for a while that we could combine with the International Mission Board and the Sunday School or Lifeway, and that we would come on the same page to be on mission with God. And he said, we just met and talked about Acts 1:8, and he said, all of our agencies, everybody together, are going to pool with one focus and one effort to get the gospel around the world. And so I want you to know, as being part of Southern Baptist and being part of actually a little bit of that meeting and been praying that we could come together and truly impact our world, that we'd truly impact our area with the gospel of Jesus Christ and our area, and not only our area, but the rest of the world. And so I just want you to know, we have people working right now all around our world with a centralized effort of carrying the gospel to where it's never been shared before, to carrying the gospel to areas that have 100% lostness, and also areas like ours that has up to 80 to 85% of the people who have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as I finished them meetings and was appointed as a missionary, even before that, Acts 1:8 had become very real to me. Acts 1:8 had become very real in the church where I pastored in Southern Illinois, to the point that we had multiple teams going out on a regular basis. I mean, it was not anything. And I just want you to tell you what, somewhat they're carrying on that mission thrust, even though I've been gone for 4.5 years. Some of the people that go to that church and are members of that church are out serving in other churches in the area who have needs, in particular needs. I was talking to one of the ladies in the church last night, and they're driving about 50 miles every Sunday morning so she can go play the piano for a church that has no piano player. That's a missionary. That's a missionary doing the mission that God had given her. And I just want you to know, as we begin in Acts 1:8, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. That is one of the verses of Scripture that moves me and motivates me and causes me to go and causes me to be involved in mission. When my dad asked me, why in the world are you spending all that money going to Romania when there's all kinds of people here? I want you to tell you why. Because God says to go to every tribe, to every language, to every people group, the paratiethne. And it's literally what that says there in Acts 1:8. Go into all the people of all the world, to every language group, to every ethnic group, and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether it be in a village in Romania that's made up of primarily gypsies. And by the way, they have a rhythm and they have a beat when they sing. And it may be the same beat for every song, but they have a rhythm and a beat. And you know, it's unique going into some of those places. You definitely want to be secure when you go there. But I want to tell you, when you're with Jesus, you're secure. When you're with Jesus, you're secure. One of the guys asked me when I came back to America after one of my trips to Romania. He said, "Aren't you scared when you're over there?" And I said, "Let me tell you, I was there for almost 2 weeks. And when I flew back into Memphis, Tennessee and stopped to get gas, I was more afraid than any time on my trip in Romania." That has nothing to do with this tonight, today in one sense, but yet it does. Because, folks, it's not just going to a gypsy village in Romania. It's going to the people that are on my neighborhood, in my neighborhood, going to the people that are on my block, going to the people in my area who need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so as we look at Acts chapter 1 and 8, it talks about going to our Jerusalem. I just want us to begin to track the movement of God and tracking the Jerusalem believers and how God was working. Really, you could be tracking what the Spirit of God was doing within the church there in Acts. He could see what God was doing in that church, and it begins with being with Jesus. They were with Jesus. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this is some of the last words that Jesus ever said to his disciples. The last words he ever says, "You're going to be my witnesses. As you're my witnesses, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and everywhere. You are going to be scattered, and you're going to be my witnesses everywhere you go." That was his last words to them. But it began by being with Jesus. And I just want you to know, if you haven't been with Jesus, if you've never met with Jesus, you need to meet with him this morning. You need to meet with him right now. If you've never come to a point in time in your life where you've surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ, I challenge you to do that right now. Right now. Just bow your head and say, "Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. I believe that you died for me on the cross, and I'm surrendering my life to you. I trust you as my Savior and my Lord." Praying a prayer simply like that to Jesus Christ, I promise you, you'll be able to meet with him and he will meet with you. Jesus desires to meet with each one of us. These disciples, even later on, they said, "These are ignorant and unlearned men." How would you like to have that title? Hey, these guys are ignorant and they're unlearned, but they've been with Jesus. Folks, it may be ignorant and unlearned, but when you've been with Jesus, it's going to be attractive. Well, it begins with being with Jesus. And Jesus told them to remain until they receive power. And he told them to remain until they receive the Holy Spirit. And so we see them gathering in the upper room. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "And these continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." And I think that's really significant and very key here, because he was meeting with the disciples and the women, and they were meeting also with Jesus' mother, who was Mary, and his brothers. Now, his brothers did not believe in Jesus until after the resurrection. Matter of fact, they thought he was crazy. His brothers did not believe on Jesus and believe that he was the Messiah until after the resurrection and when he appeared to them. And now we find them included with the disciples. We find them included in the upper room being there, and not only that, but one of those guys, brothers of Jesus, named James, was the early leader of the church, and how that God transformed his life in such a way. And so as we begin to tracking what God was up here, in southern Illinois and down where Danny goes to school, they had these storm trackers. And they have people who are out chasing the storm chasers. I've always tried to stay away from them. I didn't want to chase one of them. Have I ever done it? Yes, I have. But they have these storm trackers. And they'll come on your favorite program. Beep, beep, beep. And they'll come across the screen. This is a weather bulletin. And KFVS TV 12, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. We have a major storm, the possibly damaging winds and hail and a possible tornado. And then you get attention, you know, when you get the attention, and when they say the possible tornado. It will be at this town at such and such a time, and it should be at this town at such and such a time. And, you know, at 6:36, it's going to be here. At 7:30, it's going to be there. They have it tracked all the way across the country. And they track those storms, and they're always interrupting. And by the way, after a while, you're thankful. After you've seen a few tornadoes, you're very thankful for that. We're going to track here, and just hang on to that tornado thought for a second. We're going to track the movement of God in the early church at Jerusalem. They began with Jesus. After they began with Jesus, they went to the upper room. They moved from being with Jesus and Jesus seeing him ascending up into heaven, and then they stayed there and they prayed. They began to pray and ask God to empower them and ask God for instructions. And they prayed for 10 days. Now, that's a long prayer meeting. They prayed for 10 days. And then we have Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the coming of the Spirit of God. And when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven. Coming back to that tornado thought just for a second, as we're tracking the movement of God, how many of us have ever heard a tornado? Man, we got a lot more people who saw tornadoes than heard tornadoes. What's it sound like? You know, you always hear, if you hear a freight train, you know, head to cover. If you're hearing the freight train, it's probably too late. You probably needed to be in cover just a little bit before you heard the freight train. And I lived in Tornado Alley. You know, if there's going to be a tornado that was going to come through our area, it's either going to come through the Anna Jonesboro area or it's going to come through the Fairfield area. And I lived in both of those areas at different times. But in June the 1st of 1990, I saw three tornadoes one day. Three tornadoes is more than you ought to see in a lifetime. But I saw three tornadoes in one day. And the first one I had was out doing some things, and it was just muggy, and you couldn't hardly breathe. And so I went and done some other stuff, and I went to Walmart. And when I was in Walmart, it just started raining in buckets. I mean, just it sounded like the roof was going to come off of Walmart. And I had a little yellow Ford Courier truck. I mean, it was a little bitty thing. I could have picked it up and carried it about as good as I could get in and drive it. But it was just a little bitty old truck. And I thought, you know what? If I'm going to die, I'm not going to die in Walmart. That's not a place I really want to die at. And so I got in my little yellow truck, and I started heading south. And I had the training, and so I knew to be watching for funnel clouds, and they're usually in the southwest corner of a thunderhead or in a thunderstorm clouds. They usually come from the southwest, and so I was looking, and I was getting close to where I could see, and I come around a fence row where a bunch of trees there, and I saw the tornado. I said, you'd be amazed how fast a little yellow truck can turn around in the middle of the road. I mean, I whipped that little thing around. I went to the restaurant, and the first time in my life that I ever prayed in the restaurant, and everybody prayed with me. Everybody there stopped and prayed with me. We sit there. Now, we probably wasn't the sharpest knife on the shelf because we sit there out watching out glass the tornado go past. It was that way, so we was okay, you know. Boom. But anyway, but we were safe and we were secure. Don't be in front of glass when you see a tornado, okay? It's not a real bright thing to do. But God protected us in our prayer, and we were okay. And then after that, a couple came into the restaurant, and they was afraid one of their family members had been involved in it. And so I drove down there to where it came through, and it just devastation, devastation. I drove a little bit farther and was headed south and heard about another tornado that was on the ground. And you know, they was beeping in on the radio station, And so I called my wife. It was back before cell phone days. So I pulled in, called my wife, and she was oblivious. She thought things was wonderful outside. And so I called her. But I went a little bit farther, and I sit on top of a hill at the Burger Barn, and I didn't go in. I thought I'd be secure in my little yellow truck. And I watched her tornado for 15 minutes. I watched it as it went through south of town, and I watched it turn yellow and pink. I watched that tornado turn pink with fiberglass insulation when it hit Champion Laboratories in Albion, Illinois. And it just turned pink, and it destroyed that building. And as it moved on down, it turned black. And as you could just watch that thing, just black. It hit an oil tank and sucked all the oil out of the tank when it turned black. And it stayed on the ground for 180 miles. And I watched it as it put off fingers every once in a while. He said, why in the world are you telling all of that? Because the whole time I sit on top of that hill watching that tornado, I could hear the roar. I could hear the roar of a freight train moving at a very slow speed appearing to the eyes. But inside that tornado was wind speeds over 150 miles an hour inside that tornado. While I was sitting on the hillside watching it and listening to the roar. Folks, in this passage of Scripture here in Acts chapter 2, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, or the sound of a tornado. And that tornado didn't move like I watched that one move through Albion and Bone Gap and those areas. What did you like to be from Bone Gap? But anyway, as I watched that tornado move, this one, the mighty rushing wind came and it set down on top of a house. That would draw a crowd. That would draw a crowd. People want to go chase the storm. That got the people's attention that was in the area. And so everybody had to come to this house to hear and to see what was going on. And so I want you to know that God can draw a crowd all by himself. We do all kinds of things sometimes to draw crowds. I want you to know where the Spirit of God comes and he moves, he can draw a crowd. He drew a crowd there. And not only that, but he drew a crowd from all the people in the area who was happened to be there on the day of Pentecost. It just didn't happen. God had orchestrated. On the day of Pentecost, there was people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. There was people there that did not speak the Jewish language. And yet, there they were that day at Jerusalem. And they heard a message because The disciples were filled with the Spirit of God, and Peter preached the message. As you track what was going on here, Peter preached the message, and that day, after the mighty rushing wind and the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God, 3,000 believers were added to the church. I told them last night, I would just love one time in my life to be part of a baptismal service where I baptized 1,000. I would. And you say, well, that's just really far-fetched. They had their first baptismal service after the conversion. They took them out and they baptized them, and they baptized 3,000 one day. I want you to know God is at work around our world. God is the same today as he was then. He's not changed, and he's not even sick. I want you to know he's not dead. He is the same God today as he was then. We had a mission group that just got back from South Africa, had 4,200 professions of faith in less than 10 days. 4,200 professions of faith in 10 days. Folks, it's still possible. God still wants to move in that way here in our world as well. After that, after the 3,000, they saw a lame man healed in Acts 3:6. As you track the movement of God, Peter and John were getting ready to go into the temple, and they saw a man begging, which was quite common of that day. And they said, look at us. And the man looked at him because he thought he was going to receive some change. He thought he was going to receive some coins. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Take up your bed and walk. And you know what? That lame man took up his bed and began to walk. He took up his bed and began to walk. He began to carry his bed. And not everybody liked it, but they had the first person healed under the disciples' ministry. They saw their first persecution not long after that in Acts 4:3. If you want to turn over there, listen what happened after the guy was healed. Again, you can be doing the best thing in the world, and you can see people coming to Christ like 3,000 at one time and daily people being saved, and there's going to be some people out there that's not going to like it, and they're going to get mad. Some people get mad at just about anything. Have you noticed that? Have you ever seen anybody like that? You ever been around anybody? This is what it says in Acts 4:3. So they seized them and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But it doesn't stop there. As you track the movement of the Spirit of God in Acts 4:3, it says they put them in custody. And these guys were in jail, and while they were in jail, many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So 5,000, you have 3,000 of people being saved daily, then 5,000 men plus the women and children saved at this time while the guys were in jail. That's a tracking of the Spirit of God at work here. 5,000 added to the church. So now we have a minimum of 8,500 already in the church. Now that's some pretty good church growth in just a few matter of a few days. Amen? That would be a good thing to have. You know, that creates some problems I'd like to have. But then, it says in Acts 4:32 that they were in complete unity. They were in completely, this church who had grown so rapidly were completely unified. They were all together. They were one. Folks, if the Orchard Church or any other church is going to make an impact in this world, you've got to be unified. You've got to be moving forward. You've got to be moving ahead together. And I'm so thankful for what God's done through experiencing God together to bring this body together. Because I believe with all my heart that it's ready to go. After the unity in Acts 4:32, in Acts 5:40, they were beaten and ordered not to speak about Jesus. They had such an impact on their world that the Sanhedrin and the high priest gathered them in and beat them. That doesn't mean that they smacked them on the hand. That means they flogged them. That means they scourged them and said, "We're telling you right now, don't you ever, ever go out and preach about the name of Jesus again." And there's a black preacher one time I heard preach about that. He said, I can't help it. They had to go tell somebody about Jesus. Even though they were beaten, they rejoiced. I want you to know, I've never been beaten for preaching the gospel. I've been beaten up a few times, but I've never been beaten for preaching the gospel. And these guys, after they got beaten and got out, they went and celebrated. We're counted worthy to suffer persecution like Jesus. It's probably not what I would be doing at that time. Hope I would, but probably not. Then they had their first potential division. It's not amazing after they had such unity in Acts 4:32. In Acts 6:1, they had their first division. There was some Hellenistic women who were widows that felt like they were being neglected. And so the leaders of the church said, "We're not going to deviate. We're not going to stop doing the most important thing." And you know what they said the most important thing was? Praying and ministering the Word of God. They said, "We're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word." And so they set seven men aside. They set seven men aside, and these seven men were full of the Spirit of God, and they were godly men, and God used some of these men in a marvelous way. And the division was diverted because these men were there to minister to everybody. We call them the first deacons. And then one of those deacons was the first martyr. And the pastor didn't kill him. That's amazing. But anyway, if you've been in Baptist churches and around churches, but we have the first martyr, and it was a deacon. Deacon Stephen. In Acts 7:58, you know why they killed him? Because he was telling people about Jesus. wherever he went, Deacon Stephen was telling people about Jesus. And the Jews didn't want to hear it. And he had given one of the most eloquent biblical messages you could ever find. He began with Moses and went all the way and pointing everything to Jesus. And it says they stopped up their ears. And stopped up their ears, and then they began to, they took off their outer robes and they cast them down at a young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus' feet. You need to kind of hang on to that one for the next few weeks. Because what God did there in the martyrdom of one man, God used to host and touch the whole Gentile world. One man gave his life, and I believe it had a huge impact on Saul of Tarsus. And because they saw that the persecution pleased the people, the Jews, they began a mass persecution of that Jerusalem church. And it went from being empowered and being with Jesus to be empowered with the Spirit of God to now in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, they were scattered because of the persecution of one man by the name of Saul. They were scattered. Guess where they scattered? To Judea, just like God said they would. You see, things always happen like God says they will. They moved from Jerusalem, and now they're scattered throughout Judea. And we're going to look next week about what they did in Judea. Now I want us to think about our Jerusalem. I've served as your transitional pastor since December. And I just want you to know, I thank you. I thank you for allowing me to serve as your transitional pastor. I've had fun. I want you to know, it's been great for me to be able to be in one spot for a while. As an area missionary, I travel all around. And when I came to Michigan, I had 21 counties that I worked in. My area was from Manistee to Tawas to the bridge and back down, including the islands. And so that was my area when I moved to northern Michigan. And a couple years ago, we kind of narrowed that down to now I have 11 counties. Basically, right now, my area, this is my other job besides being the transitional pastor. This is what I really came and did do here in Michigan. I go from Manistee to Houghton Lake to the bridge and back down, and also have Sheboygan County in that. That's my area. That's the area that I cover. There's times when we were in Northland, when we got ready to go to church on Sunday morning, we left at 5 o'clock in the morning so we could get to church on time in some of the other churches when we were in the Northland. And there's days that my kids put their hand in the morning time in Lake Huron, and in the evening time they stuck their hand in Lake Michigan. We've traveled a lot of areas. And I want you to know, I say Northwest Michigan as my Jerusalem. This is the area that God has placed me. And I serve as an area missionary, and we have areas right now in our counties. We have some small villages that are in Manistee County where we have no evangelical work whatsoever. Not just no Baptist churches, we have no evangelical churches whatsoever that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and reaching the lost in those areas. We have areas and counties without any Baptist churches in them. And God has called me here and God has placed me here to impact this area. And so I just want you to listen to the video here about what I do. This video was shot in the summer of 2006 right here in northern Michigan. I was used as one of the spotlight missionaries last year out of 5,400 missionaries across the United States. They chose to highlight me to promote the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which goes directly to our North American missions. So listen to the video.
We have over 50 towns of 3,000 or more right here in northern Michigan without an SBC work. Many of these towns have a lost population in them of 70 and 80%. As I work with the churches here in Northwest Baptist Association, I want to help them to be the best evangelists that they possibly can be, and to equip them and to resource them with mission teams.
If we're going to change our world today, we're going to have to get rid of all the things that are hindering us.
The way that Ken Wilson plans to change the towns and people in his part of Michigan is by starting new churches. Ken is the director of missions and a North American missionary. His association has just 15 churches, and most of them have congregations of about 30 people. From the southern end of the association, all the way to Mackinac Island at the far north, Ken has a ready-made list of places where he would like to see new churches planted.
There are several things that we could do in Mackinac City because of the tourism that is involved there. But if we could plant a church in Mackinac, we could have a world-impacting church, because many of the people who come to Mackinac Island and Mackinac City to work are from foreign countries. So, Rich, are you looking forward to having your new office?
It's moving day for the Orchard, a new church start in Traverse City. Rich Ratz is the pastor and church planter. The church is a success story that means a lot to Ken.
It's exciting to talk about the Orchard because it was an answer to my prayer. And I have had the privilege of working with Rich, and just the working with the whole church plant has been an exciting adventure.
Well, did you see any ways that we could possibly reach into that resource there and reach those people who are out there?
The Orchard, just recently constituted as a church, but has 200 people each Sunday and have already baptized more than 70.
I mean, we're an infant as a church, and infants are fragile. Infants are very vulnerable. Infants need a lot of things. And yet at the same time, it's been great to have an area missionary that understands that and is a real encourager and a real prayer partner. And a source of tangible support as well.
How are you guys? Doing good. We're with Liberty Baptist Church. We're Liberty Fest.
There are two mission teams in the area this week. This team is promoting an upcoming block party. Mission teams are a major tool that Ken can offer his new and existing churches.
They give us added resources and the manpower that we don't have here at Southern Baptist in northern Michigan. They help us in so many different ways, with sports camps, block parties, door-to-door surveys, vacation Bible schools, and a whole host of other things that they can do as well.
Several miles away, another mission team is helping a church launch its first vacation Bible school in 7 years.
It's really a shot in the arm for them, because they get those resources and they get encouraged by the people who are here, and they get the challenge too. And it's really encouraging to see the excitement of the people at Green Lake, as well as the excitement of the team at Murphy, to be able to come up here and partner with us and help us in the ministry that God's called us to do.
Because of the forests and rural areas, to say that hunting is a popular hobby here would be an understatement.
Well, the motto is, whatever it takes, we get them any way we can.
A national holiday is opening day of deer season here in northern Michigan.
Hunting is an interest that Ken shares with many of the indigenous people of this area. So he uses that common ground to reach out to the homegrown people here. Whether it's evangelistic hunts or wild game dinners, Ken sees them as important tools in reaching the people who are from here. And he believes that's the best way to change northern Michigan.
Because the indigenous people know their culture. They know their culture better than anybody else does, but they know how the people relate up here, and they know this northern culture. Another reason why it's important to have indigenous people, if they're here, because they love northern Michigan. And if we can raise up indigenous people, they have a love for their family and friends that you cannot transplant anywhere else.
Here you go. Here's one for Christopher.
North American missionary Ken Wilson was called to this corner of Michigan to change it. To change it by starting new churches. To change it by reaching the homegrown people and sending them out. But only through the gifts of Southern Baptists, through their prayers, and through the time and resources of mission teams like these, can Ken fulfill his call.
Pray specifically for our pastors here in northern Michigan. Pray that God would use them and that they'd have a fresh touch of God upon their lives and ministry. We know that there's no problem with the harvest, but as laborers going out and working in the field, and we need many laborers here, pray that God would help us to impact some of our areas who have no gospel witness. And God has put me here and placed me here to evangelize these towns. And not just to evangelize, but also that passage of Scripture says to make disciples. God's called me here to evangelize and to make disciples. So He called me to change my world here in Northwest Michigan.
As you watch that video, there's a couple things there. Number one, Doc Ritchie forgot to get the memo that he was supposed to have camouflage pants on. He wore shorts. It was shot in the summertime and not during hunting season. So I've teased him. I said, Doc, I want you to know if this video reaches and does what it's supposed to do, and it was promoting a $57 million offering last year for the North American Mission Board, it's going to be your legs that got us there. and it went over $58 million last year. And so I've teased Doc about that a lot. And another thing is the block party stuff that you saw there at the end of the video. We own that. Northwest Baptist Association, you own that. It's your association. We're having a meeting Tuesday night at the Orchard office of the Northwest Baptist Association. And so we would love for you to come. It's your association. You own the block party stuff. It belongs to this association. And, you know, what we charge to use the block party stuff is we charge a $75 restocking fee. And that helps us keep things up and supply it in there. And it's available to all the churches in our association. And not only that, we would take it outside every once in a while to other places. It's been able to impact Grace Church in Jackson, and as well as churches in Southern Illinois and other places, because it's there to minister. And then the third thing, in that video, it said that Rich and the Orchard Churches answered to my prayer. And it was, because when I came, and actually the week that I was moving up here, the day that I was moving up here, I prayed that God would send somebody to Traverse City. And God did that. God sent Rich here to Traverse City to plant the Orchard Church. And through that effort of Rich planting the Orchard Church, you are here today, as well as myself. And along with that, because we didn't have any work with the exception in Traverse City area at that time, with the exception of Grand Traverse Community Church. And this is a large area that needs more work. And God did answer my prayer in that way. But also, we have so many other areas, and one of those areas is Leelanau County and Leland and all that area up there. I pray, God, send us somebody, and God, send us somebody indigenous. Send us somebody from Leelanau County. And then last year, Jared came on the scene, and God sent us somebody from Leelanau County. So Jared, come on up here and share with us just for a little while this morning. What's been going on with you? We haven't seen you for a little bit, so share with us what's been going on for a little bit.
Sure. Good morning. First of all, I wanted to say that my wife wanted to be here with our kids, but we've got an outbreak of the pink eye in our house, so hopefully we'll get through that this week, and maybe I won't get it. But great things have been happening out in Leelanau County. I shared a story last night that really just kind of sets the stage of understanding and seeing how God just does amazing things from when you just kind of dump yourself in His hands and ask for His Spirit to lead and to guide. I needed to approach the school board to ask to use Leland Public School as a facility for our services. And this past fall, Pastor Rich and I met with Superintendent Michael Hartigan, and he said, well, that probably won't be a problem. Why don't you come back to me in the spring when you're looking to start things? Well, time had gone by, and I'm going to step into another story for a second. I was looking to do some marketing things, and I contacted Leelanau.com, and they have they do a lot of websites for people in Leelanau County and this area. They also send out a weekly e-newsletter, and there's always a sponsor listed there. So I contacted Andy, the owner, to ask him, hey, you know, what's kind of your ad rate for the year? You know, I'm looking to do some different marketing things. And we exchanged a couple emails. Well, anyways, back to the story with the school board. I sent a letter to the school board just a few weeks ago. And I said, hey, I'd like to formally request permission to use Leland Public Schools Performing Arts Center and their gymnasium for every Sunday. from 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. And I was just nervous as it can be about, I said I'd be at the board meeting if they had questions. I was pretty nervous about this request. So we're there that night. We just had dinner, Jen and I and the kids. And I said, hey, you guys, please pray for this at 7 p.m. when I get to the board meeting. Well, Matthew said, hey, let's set the timer. So at 7 p.m. in my house, the timer went off, and I had friends around the country praying for this particular meeting. And it was about 7 p.m. that I walked into Leland Public School, and I ran into Mr. Hartigan, the superintendent, in the hallway. And I said, hey, Mr. Hartigan, my name's Jared. And he said, oh, nice to see you again. I know who you are. He said, I got your letter, and you didn't put a phone number on it. I was going to try and give you a call. I should have put a phone number on it. I was kind of bonehead. But anyways, Mr. Hartigan said to me right there before the meeting, hey, you guys can use the facility. That's no problem at all. And it'll be free to you guys. We're not looking to charge you any money. And so let's go in the office, and I'll get you some building request forms. And I was my jaw was like, what? Like, no meeting, no discussion on whether we're going to use wine or juice, or no, like, anything about theology or anything, and nothing. Just, oh, you can use it for free, no problem. So I'm thinking, well, I guess I'm not sure if I have to go to the school board meeting, but I better go. I mean, it'd be good to show my face there, and I have a son who's a second grader at Leland Public School, so, you know, we'll see what happens. So I go to the board meeting, and I get an email the next day from Andy, the owner of Leland.com, and he says, hey, did I see you at that board meeting last night? Are you the same Jared who was there? And I said, yeah, that was me. And the only person that I could remember, because I didn't really talk to anybody while I was there, the only person I could remember named Andy was a guy on the school board with a little name thingy on the table saying Andy McFarlane. Now, little did I realize that before I even approached the school board formally to ask permission to use the facility, by contacting Leland.com about advertising, I had contacted Andy McFarlane, who's the school board president, which is absolutely incredible. I mean, seriously, that's a big deal. I mean, to the point, I mean, and he sent me another email, and he said, hey, I'm hoping that facility works out great for you guys. It just, you know, it looks like a great opportunity. Let me know how I can help you. Can you imagine that? We don't have to pay to use that facility for our services, and people on the school board are excited about us using it and wanting to be helpful. That's incredible. Like, that has been a real blessing. So May 18th, we're going to launch our weekly services on May 18th. I know I said a couple months ago that we were looking at an Easter launch. And I think God used some time to kind of prune our launch team a little bit and to help us kind of readdress that. And honestly, I had some great wisdom from Ken and from Ted Stevens from the state convention. We pushed the time back a little bit. But we're looking May 18th, 10 a.m. If you want to check out Fishtown that morning, please come out and help us out. It'd be cool.
Tell us a little bit about that launch team that you have and you're developing right now.
Sure. I was thinking just a few minutes ago when you were talking about Stephen, one of my best friend's name is Stephen. And I was thinking about the boldness that Stephen had to proclaim the gospel, the good news and the message of God's kingdom in Christ. And that's exactly the heart of my friend Stephen, who's going to be a part of our launch team. He and his wife are looking to move and rent in Leelanau County so that they can join us in closer proximity to be on our launch team and to help us with services. Lauren, his wife, grew up a missionary kid in France. Her parents are French missionaries right now doing a house church plant. And their heart is to someday explore international missions or formal pastoral work. So they're looking at this opportunity to be a part of our launch team and a part of our team of leaders to be like a springboard for ministry for them as well. And our goal and our prayer is that Leelanau Church of the Vine can be a sending out congregation for them as missionaries or pastors. So that's two people on our team. I'll tell you, our team is really down to the bare bones, but it's an incredible team. We have a really good team. We have a few college students who are going to step in to provide leadership in our children's area and hospitality. And I said last night, I really think, you know, we ask 18-year-olds to fly multi-million dollar planes, but in the church, most of the time, we're too scared to ask them to hand out a bulletin. Seriously, I think young adults can do so much more than what we give them credit for. Just tons of years in youth ministry seeing students do amazing things. And so we have some great young adults who are going to provide some leadership. The team is a little smaller than maybe what traditional teams might be, but I think we can get it done. And we're just boldly praying that God would bring people starting May 18th, and we're working on how to develop leaders, and I just it's going to be great.
So when are you going to have a major launch? I know you're going to try to use this time beginning in May to kind of tweak the team and be able to get everything together. When are you planning on a major launch out in
sure. Lord? What we're doing May 18th is actually launching weekly services with a series called Wonder. And really the message behind that series is taking God out of the box we tend to put him in. And so this is a series called Wonder. And we're doing some small marketing things in Leelanau County to get some interest in what's going on. But what we're doing is we're doing this launch on May 18th. And then we're going to spend the majority of the summer working through the systems, working through the basic things that make the church flow. We're going to spend probably 15 weeks on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to just continue to kind of develop this process of what we do and how we do it and how the team works together. I really am a team player in this sort of thing because I'm just not very good at a lot of stuff. So we're going to work through the kinks. And then this fall, in early October, we're going to do a bigger deal and launch again more publicly with a series called Something Real. My friend Steve has had this idea of something real since we were in high school, that while people look for a lot of things to satisfy and fulfill themselves, what they're really looking for is something real, and that's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So in October, we're going to really launch with this series called Something Real. And I was telling Ken, we've got some really ambitious goals and things. I think you need to dream big. If you're looking to do something, set your dreams way beyond what you think is possible, especially when it's doing something for God. Because I think sometimes we underestimate what we can do for God. So we have made some huge dreams of things we'd like to see happen in the first 5 years. And now we're trying to work hard to get to those things and be faithful to follow and try to fulfill those dreams. So we're going to do a bigger launch this October.
How can we pray for you, Jared, and the team there in Leland?
Well, I think if you're thinking of something to pray, I can tell you right now, you could pray about anything. If you think for about 2 seconds about church planning, whatever the Lord brings to your mind, please pray about it, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that probably needs prayer. I think that something that is very important in prayer now, something that you could pray about that's very tangible instead of just kind of a general answer, is that we can find volunteers to kind of staff our children's ministry. Find some volunteers who are quality. Because when you're starting something new in a church plant, I would rather have a team that's small, but that's incredible. I'd rather have a team where we're all on the same page, small in number, but we're just passionate about what we're doing, than to just fill empty spaces. And honestly, at the same time, I don't think that people who God has designed and created to be in hospitality or to be in music, I don't think those people necessarily should be in children's. I think God creates us with giftedness and we should use it appropriately. But at the same time, when you're starting a new ministry in a new church, you still need people to do stuff. So we're really at this stage of just, you know, God, we depend on you to please bring people to help us staff these children's, to buy the vision, to really get excited about what God's doing here. And honestly, the coolest thing, this is something my wife keeps saying to me all the time. I'll start to fret and worry about different things, and she'll say, look, you just got to, it's dead clear that God has called us to this. So let's just trust him. Let's just trust that it'll happen. Because if you look back on life in those times where you needed to trust, I mean, God is God. God will take care of these things. But that's a real tangible prayer request that we have, is the right people on the bus, as Yep. Jim Collins.
Yeah, Jim Collins. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate your time.
Sure.
As we move on and talk about how we're going to impact the lostness of our area, you know, we have what God's doing in Leelanau County and with Jared, and we have also some other things going on in Northwest. We have a work in Copemish and that are going on in Shiloh. We meet every Sunday night down in Copemish. And also, we have a restart in Bel Air. On Saturday nights, many of the Saturday nights recently, Corey LaCruz has been with us. And Corey is coming. He's going to be the new planter in Bel Air to restart that work up there. And I'm excited about God. And the Orchard is going to be partnering and working with Corey and the church there, and as well as other churches in Northwest Association. We have all kinds of other ministries in our area. And I want you to know, you need to be a missionary no matter where you are. You don't have to go to Africa to be a missionary. You don't have to be a preacher to be a missionary. God wants you to be a missionary no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. He wants you to be a missionary. You see, He wants you to be a missionary when you're in school. He wants you to be a missionary when you're at work. He wants you to be a missionary wherever God has placed you at right now. And so as we begin and begin to ask three questions here towards the end of this, I'm going to have Lucas, he's going to come and share a song with you. And then I want to ask you these questions at the end. And these questions are really important. And as you listen to this song that Lucas is getting ready to do, I want you to think about these three questions. What is the specific mission that God has given you? What's the specific mission that God's given to me? Making it personal. Do you feel inadequate to accomplish your mission? And what can the Orchard and Northwest Baptist Association do to help you accomplish your mission?
She is running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. She is trying, but the canyon's ever widening in the depths of her cold heart. So she sets out on another misadventure just to find she's another 2 years older and she's three more steps behind. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? she never found it home. And she is searching for a hero to ride in to save the day. And in walks her Prince Charming, and he knows just what to say. Momentary lapse of reason, and she gives herself away. Every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people, they can't see past her scarlet letter, and we've never even met her. If judgment looms under every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people can't see past her scarlet letter, and we've never even.
Powerful message. Who's your special mission? Who has God placed in your life? Do you feel inadequate? We all are inadequate on our own abilities. Good, I'm glad you feel inadequate, because you can't do it by yourself. You've got to do it through the power of Jesus Christ. Let me know. I'm here to resource you. I'm here to help. Not only as a transitional pastor, but as a director of missions for Northwest Baptist Association. God bless you. You have a great day. Let's pray. Father, I come to you as we close this service today. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I ask you that you might move your people to open their eyes and see all those around us who need Jesus. God, as I watch the video, I'm reminded of my neighbors, and particularly Todd, who was in my driveway yesterday. Help me, Lord. Amen.